Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Gonna have a good day. As we always do, laugh, love, learn here aboard the mothership. Coming up in 20, we'll have your best audio of the day and sound check. In 40, Mike Golic joined us a couple of days ago here on the show and disagreed with my characterization of what he said here on the show. I'm standing by it. We'll discuss that coming up here on the program in 40 minutes. Later on in the show, Joshua Perry, he was a standout for the Ohio State Buckeyes where they won the national championship a couple of years ago. Also has done work for the Big Ten Network. He'll join us to look ahead to championship weekend and Michigan versus Iowa in the Big Ten title game. We have played for you this morning the first of the first four out. If you missed that in hour number one, as we have debuted the 12 DAs of Christmas, we will rack that for you again coming up in hour number four. So that's the 9 o'clock Eastern hour, 6 o'clock Pacific. Upside Down Mike says, the best part of that clip was Pete the Body basically pointing to the seats in right field and blasting a 450-foot home run, then doing a Jose Bautista bat flip. Indeed, it's one of my favorite parts of that clip. It's what makes that clip so freaking funny, is that we're needling Pete about not answering the phones, not taking enough phone calls. And he says, well, if you want one, we got one. Okay, here we go. This guy in Atlanta, New Mexico, he wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes, AFC title game. All right, great, okay. This dude comes on and just starts rambling about Ronda Rousey, unintelligible, has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. It's the worst phone call ever. And we just start cracking up, and Pete basically is like, okay, what else you want here, boys? What else do you want here? It just couldn't have lined up any better, so it's true. Pete was just bat-flipping like Jose Bautista after that. Rob of the 321 tweets, DA, Brian Kelly looks like the guy who crop dusts in a church and when confronted says, the devil made me do it, then points his finger at the old lady sitting in the back. Mraz, do you think, since you are known to be a crop duster, you did this to Ice Cube once upon a time in an elevator?
And to
do
me.
You think Brian Kelly looks like a church crop duster?
That's a really good reference for Rob. And you know me, I don't love giving Rob credit on a lot of these things. Brian Kelly does look like somebody who, as he's collecting the communion, probably does a little silent thing and quickly turns around and points at the old ladies with their pocketbooks and the hard candies Yeah, he's a church crop duster. That's actually a really good picturesque reference.
Quote, yeah, he's a church crop duster. Is a church crop duster different than a different scenario in life where you would crop dust?
Well, a church crop duster is worse because inevitably two things result from church crop dusting. Number one, distraction from what whoever is up there, priest, minister, whatever, is up there speaking, because people are going to now, you know, the nose starts going, you start wondering who did that. And number two, inevitably, there's no worse laugh to me than church giggles, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, where something funny that under normal thing at a bar, at somebody's house that you would laugh at and move on, there's something about holding in a laugh at church where you get the church giggles where it becomes, you know, madness. It becomes a wave of people cracking up. And I think a church crop duster and smelling a crop dusting will lead to one of those church giggle moments. So I think you, by being a church crop duster, are going to get multiple people in trouble. Scuttlebutt of wondering who did it, people talking about it, and scuttlebutt of people laughing. And it leads to many people having anxious moments.
Also, crop dusting at the office is one thing. Crop dusting at school is another. Crop dusting outdoors is a completely different offense. It's really very light. It's more of a misdemeanor than a felony if you do it outdoors.
Ironically, actually crop dusting.
But this is a house of God, okay? It is supposed to be about respect of the institution,
sure,
of where you are, of something bigger than you, of trying to be a better self. If you can't even hold in a toot in a house of God, a house of religion, a house of spirituality, what does it say about you? A church crop duster really does, to me, that's the lowest level of crop dusting, I think.
I agree. It's very low level. I mean, I guess if you were that open about being a church crop duster, your argument back would be, what, you don't think the big man upstairs ever ripped some, you know, behind sounds? Of course.
I don't think he does.
Maybe he doesn't.
She or whatever.
Above passing gas, you think?
No, I think whatever the universe is, whoever it is above, whatever that force is, who that is, what have you. No, I don't think that entity passes gas. I don't think that it's in a state where its bowels are backed up from whatever it's eating and just has to cut one loose.
That's deep. That's very deep.
Thank you. On a Troy Aikman. Remember when we used to have awkward transition sound effects? Like when I would transition from something ridiculous into something serious or vice versa. Sometimes we would just play the with bacon drop.
Just break it up.
Troy Aikman said on 1310 The Ticket in Dallas that he doesn't think that the Rams will work. Quote, we've talked about it, that all-star team feel. I've never seen it work in the NFL. I know Washington tried it back in, I think, 99. I've just never seen a team that goes out and tries to put together this all-star team that can win a Super Bowl, much less success. It usually unravels, and right now that's kind of what's happening to the Rams. They've just not been very consistent. So, this is where you're going to get a signature DA preface of building up the person I'm about to tear down. I like Troy Aikman. I want this on record. I find his analysis usually predominantly enjoyable, insightful, pointed enough. I think he's good. I think he's really, really good. And I think that I like Troy Aikman because, unlike so many other former athletes in this space these days, he wants nothing to do with hot takes. That's not his bit. It's not his bag. And the hot takery of getting real fired up, hyperventilating, spewing something because you're just so emotional about it and you can't believe something like this would happen, I'm just so tired of. He's usually reserved. During a game, he's not trying to squeal or yelp like Tony Romo. He's not trying to predict what's happening. He's not just there being lazy. I think he's good. And when Troy Aikman brings up Washington in the late 90s, early 2000s, those splashy free agent years where they went after the Bruce Smiths and the Deion Sanders and he brings up those types of teams. Remember the Eagles tried to do this a couple of years ago where they brought in this kind of like super team and that didn't work. That we have some examples of the free agent splurge blowing up in that team's face. But when Troy Aikman says, I've never seen this work in the NFL, I guess he was asleep during last year's Buccaneers season. The Buccaneers did this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a good roster with good talent, maybe even great talent, and then brought in who? Oh, Tom Brady. And he brought in, oh, Rob Gronkowski. And they brought in, oh, Antonio Brown. And then midseason they brought in, oh, Leonard Fournette. And all of those guys, all of them, contributed to a Super Bowl championship. None more so than Tom Brady. Oh, and then in this offseason, what did they do? They spent money to bring everybody back and acquired more veteran talent. When you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, all it is veterans, high-priced veterans, big personalities, etc., and it's working. So, yes, it's kind of nice to say, oh, that stuff never works, because it feels like quick fix. You can dismiss the quick fix. You can dismiss the culture aspect. And we all would like to think that you've got to do it longer term. We'd like to believe that, man, brick by brick, it takes years. You got to get over this hump and then that hump and then this hump. You got to build it slowly, surely. That sounds better than the throwing things together. But the Buccaneers had some of it, then threw a lot of it together and kept throwing it together, and they don't have a culture problem. That defense has Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Lavonte David, Devin White, Shaq Barrett, Antoine Winfield. Those are veterans, high-priced veterans, or guys that finally got paid, and they're not like a bad culture. How will that ever work? It works because sometimes good talent does work. It's when you bring in bad talent, overpriced talent that's underperforming talent. You don't have a solid coaching staff, or you don't have freaking Tom Brady, the greatest leader in NFL history. Leonard Fournette goes from total bum, bust, dysfunctional, lazy, fat, whatever you want to call him in Jacksonville, too. Total team guy, fired up, firing his team up at halftime and scoring 4 touchdowns last week. How does that happen? Because there's a good culture there. If Leonard Fournette gets thrown into, I don't know, pick your dysfunctional franchise, he's going to probably go back to being all those bad things in Jacksonville. So when Troy Aikman says this will never work, it can't ever work, that's, I hate to say it, it's lazy analysis, because the Buccaneers have proven it can work. It is working. It does work. But you have to have the steady, sturdy, positive, winning culture to absorb that. And the Rams are trying to do this in some ways backwards. Who's the most important piece of the puzzle in terms of establishing the culture inside your locker room? Ding, 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 quarterback. Well, they're adding a quarterback to try to win as the final piece, and you're asking Matthew Stafford to try to establish the culture? I mean, I love Stafford. You know this. I would love to see him win a Super Bowl this year. I think he's a competitor, fiery. He is no nonsense. He has no excuses. He's talented and was surrounded by some bad coaching, some bad roster builds, and the stink of the Lions. But Matthew Stafford also doesn't come to Los Angeles like Tom Brady and says, this is the way we do things around here. No, that has to be a McVay thing. Well, McVay's also adding on the fly Von Miller, Odell Beckham. Are those guys even effective these days? I mean, there's a reason the Broncos didn't want Von Miller. Is he effective? Is Odell effective? Yeah, he brings a lot of baggage. Who knows if he's still a really great wide receiver? Some people believe he is. Some people believe he's not. The Rams' culture starts with their coach, who seemed to have a pretty good one. But an enormous part of that is a quarterback that's never won. And now you're adding guys who might be washed, which they might not be, but we don't really know. The injury that has opened up because of Robert Woods, Odell Beckham's importance. They've lost running backs due to injury, Cam Akers. Like, there's a lot of things other than just they're trying to slap it all together and it's not working, and that's because it never works. Every situation's different. I mean, comparing this year's Rams team to the 99 Washington team, how fair is that? Again, I say this all not to get all hot and bothered about Troy Aikman, because I think that by and large he does a really good job. But that's not fair to this Rams team. Right now, are they skidding? Yes, they are. Do I think it's because they tried to microwave a championship? Not really. I think Stafford's not healthy. Stafford's played really poorly. Odell and Von Miller might be washed, but that's not preventing them from being a contender, because they were a contender as of 7-1 this season. And last year, made the playoffs. So this idea that they're microwaving a championship and that never works is just not fair to the Rams. It's not. It's not fair to the Rams. They went to the playoffs last year. They won a road playoff game in the division against a team that won 12 games. They got to a divisional round. They obviously failed there. They swapped in a new quarterback who's clearly not 100%. And they lost running backs to injury early. They began 7-1 of the season, and nobody said they weren't a contender. They're still a contender, and they're going through a bad streak. Is it alarming? Yeah, I said this on Monday. This three-game skid has gone from head-scratching to concerning to alarming. It's alarming. But it's not the same as whipping together a roster out of nowhere in the offseason like Washington or the Eagles tried to do once upon a time, and it blowing up in your face because they have no culture, and it's a bunch of me guys, they've got a bad coach or whatever, and it never comes together. That's not the same. This is so not the same. Is the Rams skid concerning? Yes. They're still a contender, though, and that's nowhere close to previous, quote, all-star teams that were slapped together. And the Buccaneers just did this. And then Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson wanted to do the same thing the Buccaneers did. Rodgers was like, I saw what Brady got. Now I want to pick all my guys. And then Russell Wilson said, I saw what Brady got. I want to pick all my guys. Probably works with them too, because they're really good quarterbacks. That's a huge part of this equation. Also, not for nothing, but like the Cowboys are really good. They signed Deion Sanders basically to be the final piece of the puzzle to win another Super Bowl. And it worked for the Niners in 94 with Deion. It worked for the Cowboys in 95 with Deion. That's a mercenary that comes in and he just basically comes in and they're like, the talent trumps everything. He's loud. He's noisy. He's controversial at times. He does what he wants, but we know on Sundays we get our best Deion, and that's all that matters. You know, sometimes that works really well. So we can't sit here and be like, well, if you just add free agents and they haven't been there for a long time, you know, it never works. Worked for you, Troy. When we come back on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. And this morning, we highlight the Browns GM Andrew Berry, who weighs in on Baker Mayfield. We also hear from DeMarcus Cousins on why he signed with the Bucks. And the new GM of the Mets admits to to check it out what Vegas is saying about him. That's coming up next as part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And the DA show is available every single day on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app, or watch us at watchda.com, or listen to us on your phone via podcast. We begin with Andrew Berry, the Browns GM. Does Baker Mayfield have some pressure on him going into the end of the season, since the Browns have to make a decision on giving him big money?
I don't know it's so much about, showing me anything. Like, really, our focus is on, winning games and playing at a high enough level that, allows us to, be in a strong spot in December. That's really where the focus is. I think Baker showed a lot over the past, four, or I guess kind of three plus seasons. So I don't, I don't necessarily subscribe to this notion that there's some, something in these next five games that's of particular focus, so to speak.
That's the right thing to say for Berry, but I don't believe it, because Baker's been so up and down in his career. And beginning of last year, not so great. Second half of last year was excellent. This year has been pretty rough most of the season. And you wonder, if you're the Cleveland Browns, if you can stake your claim to Baker Mayfield on big money and expect different from this year. Now, clearly he's not 100%, and I talked about that with Matthew Stafford. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but look, it's a reason why neither one of these guys are as effective as they normally are. I do think that Baker Mayfield is physically limited. Stafford has that cannon arm. Stafford has amazing physical attributes. Baker Mayfield's undersized. Baker Mayfield doesn't have a great arm. Baker does not have a howitzer attached to his shoulder like Justin Herbert. But Baker is dinged. He's got to play better, though, than this, for them to feel confident giving him money. The issue, as always, will be you can give him the money just so that you don't have to find another QB. It's like, what's worse, the devil that you know or the devil that you don't? What's scarier, giving money to Baker Mayfield or the unknown at quarterback? And my guess is, for the Browns, it's the unknown at quarterback. Took them 20 years to find a Baker Mayfield. They don't want to try to do that again. Here is DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, the last couple of seasons of his career have been marred by injury. He has signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's his reason.
I'm at peace, man. I've grown a lot through these tough times. And, things haven't gone in my favor in these last couple of years, so I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Kind of an uproar in my household. You know, we were getting ready for the holidays. We had family coming in town, so just trying to make moves on the fly and get everything adjusted. But everything worked out perfectly. And like I said, I'm extremely grateful and excited to be here.
Obviously, his career is never going to be what it should have been because of these injuries. But the last couple of years, DeMarcus Cousins has tried to attach himself to winners. Because at this point in time, you're not going to be your star. You're not going to be your former NBA All-Star self. You're not going to the Hall of Fame. Now it's just about trying to be around to winning culture and having fun that way. So it was the Warriors. Then it was the Rockets when they felt like they were a contender. Then it was the Clippers last year. And now it's the Bucks. And so I like DeMarcus Cousins. I root for DeMarcus Cousins. I hate to see anybody's career ravaged by injury the way that his has been. When he started his career with the Kings, he was a force. He's no longer a force, but you can hear that resignation in his voice. Man, I'm at peace with what happened in my career. And I think for him now, it's just about being around circumstances and situations that make him happy. And I cannot blame him at all for that. And finally, here is new Mets GM Billy Epler, who joined WFAN in New York and admitted he has checked out the Vegas win total odds. Here's Epler.
For all our decisions around maximizing cumulative expected World Series odds, right, over this long-term time horizon.
Right.
So you'd love to be able to sit here. Like, if we sit here today, I don't know. Like, I do like to look at the Vegas odds because, you know, Vegas has a lot to lose, right? If they're wrong in their odds, there's money at stake, right? So I like to look at those odds, and I'd like to forecast a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year period where we can be at the upper end of those odds. And if we can do that over a 6 or 7 year period, odds are, that's not a guarantee,
right,
but odds are we might end up
eventually a win.
Okay. Mraz, what do you think? An MLB GM admitting he takes stock in the Vegas win totals because there's money at stake for Vegas.
Well, my initial reaction is 5 years ago, spot where if you asked any player, coach, GM, anything involving gambling and Vegas odds, oh, we don't pay attention to that stuff. We have to worry about what's on the field. And for a general manager to say that's what he's taking a peek at, how could I get here? How could we increase our odd total here? My gut reaction is that seems stupid, but the more I think about it, he is right. Vegas is putting odds where they're putting them because they're trying to, you know, keep those big buildings built.
So that's true in some ways. It's true in some ways. I mean, Vegas does do a ton of research in general. They have a ton of inside intel. Vegas, that old hashtag Vegas knows, because they know a hell of a lot. But lines and win totals are oftentimes also based on perception. They are trying to make money, and that's not always complete reality. So I think it's a little weird for a GM, and now he's my GM. It's kind of a little weird that you would be looking at Vegas and saying, okay, well, that's how good we are. Well, you should know better than Vegas about building a winner because you're not trying to do it based on perception. You're trying to do it based on what you know to be a winning formula in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, the win totals can fluctuate and go up and down based on, like, as you're pointing out, perception, right? If you're just not a popular franchise, right? The Mets don't have a lot of national fans all over the place, so that might mean less people betting on their over and thus their over win total not rising into that upper echelon as well.
Because if you're the GM of the Yankees, or whether you're the GM of the Mets or the Yankees or whatever, the Yankees win total is going to be buffered by the popularity of the Yankees or the Dodgers. Meantime, the Mariners or the Rays are going to be depressed. So you also can't be like, oh man, if you're the GM of the Yankees, wow, I guess we're really good this year because look at what Vegas says our win total is.
Yeah, or same thing with the Cowboys tonight. Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites. You know, under normal circumstances, maybe that's 4 or 3.5-point favorites, but you know there's a lot of Cowboy fans, and a lot of Cowboy fans put money. And when it ends up being millions of those people, or thousands of those people, that sways numbers.
That is your sound check this morning. Russell tweets, hey, DA, can we get a 12 DAs of Christmas segment of the 7, 8, 9 o'clock hours? Fear not. The way that we always play this is we play the 12 DAs twice. Once, usually in the first hour, sometimes the second, and then we always play it in the third or fourth hour again. So that's what we'll do today. We'll do the 12 DAs of Christmas coming up again, a replay of today's first of the first four out coming your way in hour number four this morning. Joe tweets, did Aikman also forget about the Niners team that kicked his butt in 94? They brought in Dion, Richard Dent, and Ricky Jackson. That's a good point as well. Standing by with a headline this morning is a kind sir, Mr. Andrew Bogish. AB, what up?
DA, hello again. MLB players officially locked out after the current CBA expired last night. This ends roughly 26 years of labor peace for baseball. The good news is the last three lockouts did not lead to missed regular season games. To avoid that this time, the league and union will need an agreement by early March. Trades and signings not allowed during the lockout. The Cubs beat the buzzer with a three-year, $71 million deal from Mets righty Marcus Stroman, and the Dodgers kept the super useful Chris Taylor with $60 million over 4 years. Notre Dame apparently keeping Brian Kelly assistants Marcus Freeman and Tommy Rees. Freeman may get the promotion from defensive coordinator to head coach, while Rees remains the offensive coordinator. And we still don't have CFP expansion. College football commissioners met again yesterday in Dallas, but could not reach an agreement. There was enough optimism going into the day that there was a press conference set up, but wasn't needed in the end. They will talk again in January, which is the deadline for getting expansion for the 2024 season. College poops, the struggles continue for Michigan.
Baker attacking against Dickinson. Double team comes, has to send it out to Love. Another long triple. Holy smokes! 20 for Love.
That's Jones Angel from Learfield. Caleb Love, 22, as UNC dropped number 24, Michigan, 72-51. The Wolverines have now dropped 3 of 5. Number 14, Florida, took a 74-67 loss at Oklahoma. And Georgia took down number 18, Memphis, 82-79. The Tigers with back-to-back L's. The Clippers have dropped 3 in a row, 6 of 8, after falling at home to the Kings, 124-115. The Magic surprised the Nuggets, 108-103, ending a 7-game losing streak. And the Celtics fought off the Sixers, 88-87. Boston head coach Ime Udoka.
Not really going to apologize for an ugly win. It happens. Offense wasn't clicking at all times, but guys got it going late. As we've said all year, we're going to rely on our defense. And to hold a team to 87, you'd like to score more than 88, obviously. But we did what we were supposed to.
Jason Tatum scored 11 of his 26 points in the fourth to make that defense stand up. Heat center Bam Adebayo needs surgery for a torn UCL in his right thumb. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. DA mentioned the Bucks last segment. They haven't had Antonio Brown since week 6 because of an ankle injury. He's reportedly out another 2 weeks at least. It'll be Taysom Hill under center when the Saints host the Cowboys tonight. New Orleans on its first 4-game skid since 2015, while Dallas has dropped 3 of 4. Their NFC East lead on Washington down to 2 games. And we finish on ice. The Oilers took care of the Penguins 5-2. Connor McDavid a goal and 3 assists. Rosie, back to you.
Bogues is such a professional. Look at that. You would never know, because Bogues does not get thrown off his mark, that Rosie the Cat just walked all over me during that update, walked right up to the camera, smelled the microphone, walked behind the microphone, is now behind the camera as well. I guess trying to play the Wizard of Watch DA from Warwick.
She stood up in front of the mic like she was going to talk.
She had to take an Aikman. Don't forget about the Jaguars. We love cats. Panthers and Jaguar Super Bowl 2022.
Boy, Rosie really loved expansion in the 90s. Huh?
Yeah, she loved the 95 expansion. Thought it was a great idea. Pause up.
Maybe I can get out of the room by playing a dog barking.
If Rosie calls, would you pick up, Pete?
Maybe.
She's got good takes.
Vigorous screening process she has to get by.
Oh, wait a second. Shep's almost here for his shift.
Sundays.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we had Mike Golick on the program earlier in the week, and I asked him about Urban Meyer and the Notre Dame job. He gave me an answer. I tried to paraphrase it in a tweet, and he said, that's not what I said. I want to defend my stance on this and ask Mraz and Bogues what he thinks, what they think about what he said coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Listen to us on your smart speaker. Just simply tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us on around the house as you get ready for your day. Also a great way to listen to Sunday Morning Football, which we will happily host for you here on CBS Sports Radio right through the Super Bowl. Have us on around the house every single morning by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Looks like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish will not be hiring outside of the family. Looks like they're going to promote their defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman. So Notre Dame will not be out big game hunting, seemingly. But earlier in the week, we had Mike Golick on the show, longtime co-host of Mike and Mike, NFL analyst, college football analyst, obviously, and he's also a Notre Dame grad. Now, I wanted to ask him about Urban Meyer because Meyer had been an assistant coach at Notre Dame. He also has been forever rumored for the Notre Dame head coaching job. We know that Urban is obviously really successful in the college game, not so much right now in the NFL. And we also know that, look, Urban's probably not long for the NFL. If he stays a full 3 years, that kind of feels like the ceiling, kind of feels like the max. So I asked Mike Golick if he, as a former Notre Dame player, and of course a Notre Dame alum, would be supportive of Urban Meyer. Would he like to see Urban Meyer in South Bend? Here was Golick. As a Notre Damer, would you want Urban Meyer to coach the Irish?
Listen, you know, the main thing you want is you'd like to win. and everybody knows what you're getting at Notre Dame. We know the player you're getting there has to meet a few more stringent, you know, guidelines to get into Notre Dame than some other schools. Urban Meyer's success on the college level has been absolutely incredible. I would be stunned if he left Jacksonville after 1 year. In all honesty, I know he was first associated with the USC job. And then he does come certainly with a little bit of baggage as well. I think they go younger. I think Luke Fickell is going to be the man they really, really go after from Cincinnati, which makes it a really wild situation since Cincinnati's right in the mix of it to be in the Final Four.
So we don't know if Notre Dame went after Fickell hard. Maybe they didn't want to wait until Fickell's playoff destination was decided. Maybe they were just all about promoting Freeman from within. But does not look like they're going after Fickell. That did seem like the natural fit, though, because of Fickell's Midwestern roots and recruiting footprint, etc. I like Mike, so this is not a torpedo job on Mike. I wouldn't do that. But he was a little evasive in that answer because I said, would you like Urban Meyer? And he finishes up with, I don't think Urban Meyer's leaving Jacksonville. I think they really want Luke Fickell. So that's not really a direct answer to the question. Would you want Urban Meyer to be your head coach? Is different than, I don't think he's going to leave Jacksonville. But early in that answer, he says two things that I interpret as yes. When he says, quote, the main thing you want is you'd like to win. Okay. And then says Urban Meyer's success at the college level is absolutely incredible. Now, those two statements in that answer gave me the feeling that the answer was yes. It wasn't a bold, yes, bring him in. Yes, I want to see him. But when you say the main thing you want is you'd like to win and Urban Meyer wins in college, felt like to me he was saying yes. So I tweet out this clip and say that that Mike Golic, and I said, I thought I was fair here. I said, Notre Dame alum Mike Golic says, as unlikely as it may be, he'd like to see Urban Meyer take the job. Mike Golic responds to this, that's not what I said. And I'm like, okay. And he actually said, don't really think I said that. And I thought, well, was I unfair here? Because I didn't want to do him dirty. Mraz, when you heard the answer from Mike Golic, did you feel like he was saying, yes, I want Urban Meyer?
Well, maybe not directly, yes, I want Urban Meyer. Because full disclosure, this was obviously what we highlighted for our website, CBSSportsRadio.com, to pick up on. But what he certainly hinted at is that he likes winning. Anybody who follows Urban Meyer, you ask the question, knows that that means winning. He certainly didn't throw Cole Warner and say, absolutely not, Urban Meyer. Like, he mentioned the baggage. He didn't say, no baggage, no nothing. He didn't say that he didn't want him as the head coach. And he gave enough breadcrumbs there that Urban Meyer's track record is what he's looking for as far as on-the-field results at Notre Dame. So the words, I want Urban Meyer, come out of his mouth, no. But he certainly said enough that anybody who's followed Urban Meyer and followed college football would interpret as, yeah, this guy brings winning to the program, and that's what we're looking for.
Frankly, I think it's hard to say yes to Urban Meyer because he's got so much baggage. So you kind of don't want to put yourself out there for Urban. I mean, just earlier this season, he's caught in a scandal. So, you know, saying bring in that guy to Notre Dame, who, of course, Notre Dame keeps themselves up on this high horse, bring in a guy that's grinding with chicks at his bar is not a great look. So I think you kind of can't say publicly, yes, I want Urban Meyer, because then it feels like you don't care about morals and ethics. But he certainly didn't say no, and that's what I was right. I was reading there. If you felt like he wasn't a cultural fit for Urban Meyer, for Notre Dame, you say, no, I don't think he's the right fit. But he didn't.
Right.
He said, you want to win, and Urban Meyer wins. So I didn't think it was being unfair. I'd like to ask Bogues this question here. Bogues, did you think I mischaracterized Mike Golic's answer?
I guess maybe in like the slightest, tiniest way. Cause like Sean, I feel like he was more saying Urban Meyer makes sense to be Notre Dame's head coach, but he didn't personally say, I want him to take the job. He said he would make sense there because you want to win and he can win. So like he almost said he should be a candidate, not he's my candidate.
Okay. That's fair. So you think it's almost like a detached, hey, it makes sense because people want to win and he's a winner, but I don't think he's actually a candidate. But that's really not even answering the question. He basically didn't answer the question is what you're saying.
Right. And he also, like you said, he did not dismiss Urban Meyer. He did not say he can't be the head coach in Notre Dame for reasons, you know, one, two, or three. I think he what he was saying was that's the kind of guy you would want, but he didn't put his own stamp on saying we should get Urban Meyer to coach my Notre Dame.
Well, my question would be, if you phrased it and put it, and this would be literally what he said, former Notre Dame alum Mike Golic says he's not against Urban Meyer being the head coach at Notre Dame. I mean, would
okay.
he have a problem with that? I
right.
mean, that's probably a better way to phrase it, because he didn't say,
yeah.
I'm not against him hiring
not
him.
Against it.
Right.
Not against it is different than for it.
Right. Do you think he would have a problem with that? Like, that's, I don't know. I kind of feel like he said it and then didn't know we'd clip it out and basically didn't want anybody at Notre Dame attacking him for it. So I don't know if he'd still have a problem with that, too.
So I think that's absolutely part of this puzzle here. And I take these things seriously because I know I do interviews, and I know that when you do an interview and how the internet works, you take one clip, one phrase, you put it out there, then you can get attacked for it forever. And it's not my intention here. You know, I take it seriously to not mischaracterize, especially guests that have been good to us. You took time out of your day. I'm not here to torpedo you. But I also think that when you actually break it down granularly and you see the words in writing, it's kind of a yes. I mean, he does say, quote, the main thing you want is you'd like to win. Urban Meyer's success at the college level is absolutely incredible. And then goes on to say, but he's got baggage. And I don't think he's the target anyway. I think Luke Fickell's the target. Well, if you don't want Urban Meyer there, then you can say that. But by saying, yeah, he's a winner, everybody wants a winner, it's misleading when somebody says, well, then you'd like Urban Meyer, and you go, well, that's not what I said.
You basically then are saying, I didn't say anything. So, you know, you run into a problem when you're somebody like us, when you're an opinionist, you're an analyst, somebody asks you an opinion, and then you run from the opinion and then say, that's not what I said. You know, to me, that's, what are you supposed to say? I think Mraz has a good point. Like, he just doesn't, you kind of like meander your way through an answer by not answering, and then you see the answer in print, and you're like, that's not what I intended by that answer.
Right, exactly. Which is why I think the way we're phrasing it, I feel like he would still have a problem with phrasing it in an even better way.
If I may somehow tie this to Fordham basketball, just because I kind of had this experience. They have a new head coach, Kyle Neptune, who was Jay Wright's assistant for the last handful of years at Villanova, and I knew who they were talking to take this job. And there were guys that I would have been okay with getting the job because it made sense, their resume fit, and they could do a good job. But Neptune is the guy I wanted to get the job. So if I was Mike Golic and you asked me this, I might have been nice about Coach A and Coach B, but I would have definitively told you I think Kyle Neptune should get this job. So I think that may be where what's different about in Mike's head, what he did not say that. He said Urban Meyer makes sense, but he didn't say I'd hire Urban Meyer for the job.
That's true. No, that's a good way to put it. That's true. He certainly didn't dismiss it. He didn't say no. And, you know,
right.
Urban Meyer did work there as well. So you wonder, maybe it's a friendship and doesn't want to say no, but kind of feels no, doesn't want to say it. It was kind of a vague enough non-answer that was not meant to be picked apart and then was. And then he kind of wanted to walk it back. But I didn't mean to mischaracterize it because I wouldn't want to do that to anybody because I wouldn't want that done to me. When we come back on the show, let's talk about this Notre Dame hire. It looks like it's Marcus Freeman. Is it because they got scared of waiting for Luke Fickle?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.